Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, and my guest today is Dr. Samira C. Seeley. Samira C. Seeley, MD, is board certified in family medicine and practices at Mercy Medical Center in the Macaulay Professional Office Building, Macaulay Plaza, 301 St. Paul Place in downtown Baltimore. Dr. Seeley earned her medical degree from Howard University College of Medicine in Washington, D.C. She completed her internship and residency as chief resident in family medicine at Franklin Square Medical Center in Baltimore. Dr. Seeley is a member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, Family Medicine Education Consortium, and the Maryland Academy of Family Physicians. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Dr. Seeley.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a short bio in your own words.
Well, as you stated, I am from Baltimore. I was born and raised here, completed my medical school at Howard University, where I made the decision to practice in family medicine after initially thinking I was going to be a pediatric doctor. I still have family here in the Baltimore area. So I think I've always known that I was going to be a physician. I think I decided probably at a really young age, maybe about 7 or 8 years old, when I was first introduced to the medical field via an illness in my grandmother. At the time, she was diagnosed with diabetes, and I spent countless hours in and out of the hospital with her and going to her doctor's offices and her doctor's appointments and to the hospital. And so I was really intrigued by what I was seeing going on, even at that early of an age. So I decided at that point, I think, that I was going to do medicine. And that's always in the plan. It's always been in the works. So the high school that I chose actually had a partnership with Johns Hopkins, where I had even more exposure to the medical field.
What high school was that?
That was Dunbar High School, Paul Lawrence Dunbar in downtown Baltimore, right down the street from Johns Hopkins University.
Give Dunbar a plug there.
So that was even more exposure for me. And then I went on to Johns Hopkins for my undergraduate, where I even was exposed more. And then I chose to go to Howard University just for a change of pace. I had always been in Baltimore. And so that was my venture outside of the Baltimore area. Like I said, I thought I was going to be a pediatrician. And when I went to medical school, I actually enjoyed working with adults a lot more than I expected I was going to. And so family medicine seemed to be a good combination between seeing children as well as seeing adults. It also afforded me the ability to have some variability in what I see on a daily basis, which is really what drew me to family medicine.
You wanted to be a pediatrician, and you thought that you would expand to family medicine. That's basically a GP, is that what that is?
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. I get to see patients from the time they're born until the time they die.
Where did you first start out at?
After I completed my residency training at Franklin Square, I did a year of urgent care with one of the local urgent care centers. Although that was an interesting experience for me, it certainly was not what I had trained to do, and it certainly wasn't my calling. So I came back to family medicine and doing primary care, which is what I truly enjoy and love.
Tell us about like a typical day for you.
Typical day for me probably starts about 7:30 in the morning. I come in, I review the patients that I'm scheduled to see that day to see what preventive medicine they might need. Of course, every patient comes in with their own agenda, but that doesn't negate the things that we need to do to just keep them healthy. So I try to review and make sure that all their preventive measures are up to date, and that being colonoscopies, flu shots, any vaccines that they might need, any screening that they might need for breast cancer or cervical cancer or things like that. I'm not currently seeing children, so I don't have to worry about vaccines quite as much as I do with kids, but try to make sure that everything that they need to keep them healthy is addressed, so that when they come in with their agenda, we can address not only that, but we can also address things that they need to keep healthy on a daily basis.
So how long have you been at Mercy?
So I started with Mercy in August 1st, 2013. So I've been here about 3 months.
Oh, so you're a newbie there.
So I'm a brand new, and so that affords me the ability and the time to do a lot of the stuff that I really like to do, which is the preventive medicine. spend time talking with the patients about their health, about their diet, about smoking, about quitting smoking, about all of those things. So as I get busier, hopefully my flow will be such that I can continue to do those things for all patients.
You're just starting out, and you've been there just 3 months, and you have to grow your practice and all. What are some of the problems, you think, just starting out with anybody in family medicine?
Just getting your name out there, people knowing that you're there. There's a shortage of primary care physicians, and I think that's just because people don't know where to get the care that they need. That's one of the biggest barriers, I think, to growing your practice when you first start out, is just really getting your name into the public eye so that people know that you're there.
Since you're in a general practice, then I'm sure you see all sorts of different maladies and people talking about everything under the sun. But as it is, tis the season, you could say, it's flu season coming up now. How do they determine what the flu shots are in terms of the flu streams that are coming up?
Every year, the CDC compiles samples of flu virus that are circulating during the year to evaluate how closely those viruses match with the vaccine that they're putting out. The vaccine's going to contain three different strains, the most common ones or the most likely ones that are going to be circulating during that year. Two of the flu types will be influenza A, and one of the flu types will be an influenza B. And so they combine all of that information, and they make the flu shot that's going to be used for that season.
So who should get flu shots?
So the CDC actually recommends that anyone above the age of 6 months get a flu shot. That's especially important for people who have chronic medical conditions, including the cancers, people who are cancer survivors, people who have had kidney transplants or any other organ transplant. But really, everyone who can get a flu shot should get a flu shot.
Are there any kind of side effects or anything from flu shots? People ever have bad reactions to it? Is it an allergic reaction or anything?
Most often people get local reactions to flu shots, which would be swelling or pain at the actual site of the vaccination. Sometimes patients will get an immune response, which sometimes feels like a cold. So a lot of patients will say, I got my flu shot and I got sick. Well, really what that is their body making the antibodies that the vaccine is promoting them to make. So sometimes people will get a low-grade fever, some body aches and things like that, but that really is your body's response to something foreign, which is exactly what we want your body to do.
Right.
We want it to respond to the vaccine so that it makes antibodies, so that if you are ever exposed to the virus itself, you have antibodies to fight off that flu.
That's the whole point, so the body adapts then.
Correct.
What are the complications from flu?
So complications from flu can range anywhere from pneumonia to hospitalization to death. And so that's why we as physicians really promote getting the flu shot. Not everyone's going to get a serious complication from the flu, but for people who are more at risk for serious complications, it's really important that they get the flu shot to prevent those complications.
So what if you're just someone that's just got the flu? When do you determine that you go see a doctor instead of just kind of taking the fluids and taking medicine and stuff like that?
Well, most people will actually recover from the flu without needing to see a doctor. However, if you are someone who has a chronic medical condition or a small child or someone who's on lots of medications, it would be advisable to see the doctor if you're getting worse. Most times the flu will resolve within a week to 10 days without any intervention from a primary care doctor or any other doctor. But if you're getting worse, you're having trouble breathing, you're having symptoms that you wouldn't expect with a normal cold, then that would be a good reason to go see the doctor.
What if you're very young? I mean, let's say you're a mother and your five-year-old's got the flu and he or she's had it a couple times before, and this time it seems like it's just a little bit different.
Most flu is going to feel like a cold, but worse. So most children will do just fine. If something is different, then it's a good idea to see the doctor. Whether or not the doctor has anything that they can do differently will be determined on how your child is looking at that time. However, if you're worried, I would suggest seeing a doctor. If you're doing okay and you just feel miserable, but you're able to deal with those symptoms with over-the-counter medications, taking Tylenol or Motrin for body aches or fever, then it actually is a good idea to stay home and let the flu run its course. Because you don't want to go out into the public and spread the flu around, for there are lots of people who don't get their flu shot.
What kind of flu vaccines are there, Doctor?
So there are the traditional flu shots, and there's also the intranasal flu vaccine. The flu shot, which most people are familiar with, has no live virus. It's an inactivated form of the virus. The flu vaccine, which is the nasal spray, which is a little different. That one does have live virus in it. Therefore, people who have lower immune systems or people who have chronic diseases probably shouldn't get the one with the live virus. That's the nasal spray. They should get the vaccine, which is the shot. They both contain the same virus to protect you, but one is live and one is not.
And the one that's live might have more viable to having some kind of effect, a side effect then?
If you have a lowered immune system, the possibility of you getting sick or having a adverse reaction would be higher with the live virus.
Yeah. So if you have a pre-existing condition, like asthma or any kind of stroke or kidney problems, whatever, you would get a shot.
Correct.
Everybody should get a flu shot. What can you do every day to try to prevent you from getting sick?
Well, the flu virus is spread mainly by droplets. When people with the flu cough or sneeze or talk, it can land on other people's mouths, noses, people who are nearby. So it's really important that if you have to cough or sneeze, that you cover it with a tissue, and then you wash your hands before interacting with other people. If you don't have tissue available, sneezing into the bend of your arm is probably the next best spot. And again, wash your hands nearby. Don't touch surfaces that other people need to touch if you've just sneezed or coughed. And trying to stay away from people who are sick, because the flu virus is going to be present when you're in close contact with others who have the flu virus infection.
And how is it ingested? Is it by mouth, or can you get it through your skin?
You don't really get it through your skin, but you get it through your mucosal surfaces, so the nose, the mouth. So if you touch someone who's had the flu, you put it on your hands, and then you touch your face, or you touch your mouth, you touch your nose, or you touch your eyes, the flu virus can be reintroduced into the body.
So that's how you get it. And the old wives' tale about going outside without your hat or coat on, you don't really get the flu that way, do you?
Correct. You do not get the flu by going outside without your coat on.
But does it make it a better chance of getting it if, say, that your immune systems are down from being cold?
No.
Okay. I'm just trying to reach you. That's a very succinct answer. Okay. Let's go. That's enough detail for that. Okay. What I do, when I get home, every time I come home, first thing I do is wash my hands. Because you're touching people's hands, exchanging money and all this other kind of stuff, and then... Now, hopefully that you won't get it this season.
What most people don't know is that actually one day before their symptoms even develop, they may be contagious and infecting other people.
You're in the Macaulay building.
Correct.
I'm not familiar with it, so are there a lot of other doctors in different fields there? So if you have somebody that you can just instantly refer to?
Yes. We have a number of different specialists in the building where I'm located, the Macaulay Professional Office Building. We have, I think, pretty much every specialty you could possibly want. And if not, most of them are close by or in one of the other buildings, either the Weinberg Building or the Macaulay Building or the Bunting Building. So we do have a lot of specialists available to us. Oftentimes, if there is someone who is in the office and needs to be seen emergently, we can actually call the specialist and get them a same-day appointment since they're already in the building.
All right. So how close is that Mercy Medical Center?
We're on the same campus. So our building is where the original Mercy Medical Center, and then on the sides of us are the new hospital, which is the Bunting Building, and the Weinberg Cancer Institute as well.
Is there anything else you want to say about your current work, what you're doing now, what you hope to see your work progress
well,
to
in a couple
of months?
Well, I hope to see my practice grow in the next couple of months. Hopefully, I'll get busier and I'll see more patients. I'd like to let people know that I am accepting new patients, and I'm doing GYN care currently as well as internal medicine, which is adult medicine. So if you need your pap smear or you need a flu shot or you just need to establish care with a new doctor, feel free to call my office.
Very good. So you are just starting out since August, and is there anything that you think you would like to do 3 to 5 years down the line that you to progress to, you think?
In the future, I'm looking into whether or not I can add children back to my practice.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy seeing children. As I told you before, I really thought that was going to be my calling. So I don't want to lose that skill. I'd like to eventually get back to seeing children if possible. And then I really just hope to be that all-around, well-rounded general practitioner that patients come to and have been seeing for years and years, and they bring their families, and I'd like to see the whole gamut.
How about giving us some contact info?
Okay. If you needed to reach me, if you're interested in coming to my office or you have questions about my practice, I am located in the McCulley Professional Office Building, Suite 804. Our phone number is 410-332-9680.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dave.
I've been talking to Dr. Samira C. Seeley, M.D., board certified in family medicine at Mercy Medical Center, and you've been listening to Baltimore Internet Radio, and I'm Dave Gusty. Thank you very much.